Turn to your Bibles, John chapter 1. Of course, this occasion of baptizing Miranda, we like to take the occasion of when we do are able to baptize somebody to take a look at what the Scripture says about baptism, and want to do that this morning. Of course, there's many different, preached several messages about such, and the Lord would just, this week was just impressing me about this. So we want to take a look at this baptism in this way. In John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse number 6, the Scripture says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity, the time that you've made, Father, for us to meet together with your people, your church here, to worship you. Help us, Father, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your blessings and the services already. And Lord, just help us as we break open your word. Father, speak to us. Speak to us, each and every one of us, Father, to our need. We thank you for your word and the truth of it. And Lord, help us to hear you speaking to us through it, to hear you, believe you, and trust you in those things that you say. Lord, we might be built up in your most holy faith, Father. We might have a good answer from the Scripture about those things that you've called us into, and we might live for you and be a good witness to those round about, Father. We pray for those that are here and not saved. Lord, that don't know salvation and the free pardon of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ and for the new life that He alone gives, Father, we pray that you might speak to them. Lord, show them yourself, and Lord, reveal unto them Christ, and Lord, help them that they might see their need. Lord, save their souls as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. And amen. Here, the Scripture says, as John the Apostle is writing, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Of course, that reference there is to John the Baptist. And we're going to see here, we just want to kind of cruise through this first chapter here and take a look at a few things. The subject of the message this morning, the title of the message, John the Baptist and the Origins of Baptism. John the Baptist and the Origins of Baptism. This man was sent by God. And we know from the accounts in the Gospel, John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. I mean, he was saved from before he was born. Okay, he knew the Lord as his Savior. We say, well, Brother Jim, I don't understand that. Well, don't worry about understanding it. Just hear it and believe it, because that's what the Scripture says. When the Lord Jesus Christ, being carried by Mary, who was John's cousin, came into the presence of John and his mother, Elizabeth, John reacted to that, and it's because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what the Scripture says about John. The same came for a witness. And remember that was John's job. He came for a witness. He came to witness about something, to bear witness of the light, capital L. That's speaking to Jesus Christ. That's one of His names. He came to bear witness of the light. That was His purpose, that all through Him might believe. Through John? No, through the light. Through the light, that through the light, through Jesus, men might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was His job. That was His calling. His entire life, John's entire life, was toward that directive to bear witness of Jesus Christ, the light. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If there's going to be light in the hearts, lives, and souls of sinners, it's only going to be through Jesus Christ. He's the only light that there is. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. Jesus, Colossians tells us that He was at the creation. Other passages tell us that it's by Jesus Christ that God has formed the worlds and made the worlds, made all that there is. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Brother Stephen brought out in his Sunday school lesson, God sent His Son to become a man. God the Son came down and became a man. He had created all things, and He became a man in the midst of His creation, and the world didn't know Him. Verse 11, He came into His own, the Jews, the nation of Israel. He was born a Jew, and His own received Him not. He was rejected of all. All rejected Him. But John writes, but as many as received Him, receiving the Lord on His word, His terms, No ifs, ands, or buts added to it. Jesus Christ plus nothing. Jesus Christ minus nothing. Receiving Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Joint heirs with Christ. A child of God. Even to them that what? Believe on His name. On Jesus. On Jesus and what He's done, what He's promised, what He came to do. Which were born, there's a spiritual thing that's going on here, which were born not of blood, not of the way it is with our children and grandchildren and the children that men have. The spiritual birth is not of the of blood nor of the will of men, what men purpose to do, nor the will of man, but were born of God. John, or the Lord Jesus Christ, John writes in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. He comes and visits by night. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can I be born again? I'm an older man. How can I go back into my mother's womb? John, or Nicodemus is thinking physical, isn't he? And the Lord says, this is a spiritual thing, John. And of course, or Nicodemus, he said it's a spiritual thing. And he deals with Nicodemus in that. That which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. Verse 14, and the Word, now another name for Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, John the Apostle, I know this may be kind of confusing, John the Apostle writes, here in his gospel, we beheld His glory. Oh, we saw that glory of the Son. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw Him. I saw Him, John testifies. He was here amongst us. He is the Word. He is the light. And John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of Him. Now in verse 15, we're back to John the Baptist. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. All right? Now, John the Baptist, if I remember correctly what the Gospels say, he was older than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was conceived before the Lord Jesus Christ. That means John the Baptist was born before the Lord Jesus Christ. But John testifies saying, you'd rather have him than me. But I've been sent. You'd rather have him before me because he was before me. He, even though John was born, why? Because Jesus has been from everlasting and to everlasting. He's eternal. He's God the Son. He says, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness, John the apostle says, we beheld his glory. Now John the Baptist says this, verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. We've seen the Lord. We've seen His working. We know that He is the Christ. Remember, there was a time there that John the Baptist was maybe kind of unsure. And he sent some of his disciples when he was in jail there. Herod had put him in jail because of him speaking against the adultery that Herod had been involved with. And so he sent disciples to him. And he says, He is the Christ, and of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. John bear witness of this fact. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We're going to a reference that Stephen made, and there in Hebrews about Moses and what Moses prophesied, that the Lord would send a prophet like unto him. And Jesus is that one. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. Verse 18, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. It's only Jesus and His work and His power that can tell anything good and true and right about God. Truth comes from the Lord. Truth doesn't originate with man. Truth comes from God. And praise God, He's told us the truth. See, He's declared it. He's given it. He's delivered His oracle, His Word, His Bible, His Scripture to us. No man has seen God at any time. Only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He has said it over and over in the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel says that He came not to do His own will, but the will of the Father that sent Him. It was God the Father, if you will, His divine plan in sending His Son, and the Son was willing to come. Listen here, verse 19. And this is the record of John. Again, the subject, the title of the message is John the Baptist and the Origins of Baptism. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you? Who art thou? John, who are you?" They heard about John's ministry, the popularity of John, John out there baptizing in Jordan, the kind of differentness of the way John was clothed and the way that what he did and what he pursued. "Who are you?" Verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." He says, "I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Savior. If you think that I am, I'm not." As far as we know, John the Baptist didn't do any miracle, but he preached Jesus Christ. We're going to see a little bit about that. And he baptized those that believed. That's what he did. That was his work. "Who art thou?" He says, "I'm not the Christ." Verse 21, they ask him, "What then?" Okay, well then tell us who you are. "Are you Elijah?" Elias? Elijah? And he saith, "I'm not." Art thou that prophet? See there? The Jews don't understand that Christ will be the prophet that Moses prophesied about. "Are thou that prophet? The prophet we'll be looking for?" He says, "No, I'm not him either," which is synonymous with the Savior. Verse 22, then said they unto him, "Well, who art thou? That we may give answer to them that sent us." We're here to collect this information. "What sayest thou of thyself?" Verse 23. He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. He says, "You want to know who I am? Who I am is that which is declared in Isaiah chapter 40. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Get ready, because the Savior's at hand. Get ready, because the Savior's at hand." We'll see more detail about that message here in a bit. And he said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees." Verse 25, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah or Elias, neither that prophet?" If you're not the prophet that Moses prophesied about, if you're not Elijah, by whom there's one that's going to come in the spirit and power of Elijah, if you're not the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, then why are you baptizing? See, they had in their mind the way things ought to be. And listen, when you and I take the Lord and we try to put Him in a box, we're going to come out disappointed. They had a thinking of the way it was going to be. And they see this man, they see these people coming to Him, they hear the message that He preaches, they see this thing of baptism that He administers. And from what I understand in the Scripture, He's the first that ever came doing such. And they're saying, "What's this all about? If you're not one of these guys, these throngs of people that are coming to you and hearing the message and your message and gladly receiving it, and this you're preaching about the Messiah, the Christ being here and such," said, "Why are you baptizing if you're not one of these?" John answered them, verse 26, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not." He's here, folks. That's what he's saying. He's not coming, but he's here. He's amongst you. "Whom you know not." You don't know who he is yet. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose." That's how much esteem I have for him. I'm not able to reach down and take loose of his shoes. Now, we don't esteem that to be a great thing, to deal with one another's footwear, do we? No, that would be, actually, if one would be required to take off my shoes, that would be humiliating, wouldn't it? John says, "I'm not worthy to take off this one's shoes." And he's right here amongst us. You get ready. He's here amongst us. And I'm preaching him. What was it? What did it say there in verse number 7? The same John the Baptist came the same for a witness to bear witness of the light. That's what he's doing, isn't he? He said, why are you baptizing? He said, there's one amongst us whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. John doesn't talk about self. He points to Christ, doesn't he? He points to the Savior. He said, there's one amongst us, and he's here. I'm not worthy to take off his shoes, to unlatch his shoes. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. In verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God. What? Which taketh away the sin of the world. Who takes away the sin of the world? The Lamb of God does, doesn't he? And what's John doing again? He's bearing witness of the light. When he sees the Savior, he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We know other accounts where John's disciples saw John say that regarding Jesus, and rather than follow after John, they then followed after Christ. And you know what? John was really tore up about it, wasn't he? No, in John chapter 3, when they challenged John about that, he says, no, I must decrease and he must increase. He said, that's my job, to bear witness of the light. And he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is all an answer, this is after them asking why John was baptizing. Okay, understand that. In verse 25, they said, why are you baptizing if you're not Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not that prophet that Moses prophesied about? He says, I'm pointing you to Christ. I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who's coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. He's saying, you need to listen to him. I'm his minister, and he is the Lord, and I direct you. Why are you baptizing? He said, I direct you to him. I direct you to him. And then this account, on the next day, he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. I didn't know what he looked like. Even though he's my cousin, I didn't know what he looked like. I knew him not. Listen to what it says. But I knew him not, but that I did know that he should be made manifest to Israel. There's coming a time soon that he was going to be shown openly to Israel. I didn't know what he looked like. I think that's what that means. I knew him not. See, John had been taken from his youth and his childhood in the wilderness and the foothills of Judea, and had been instructed and taught by the Lord. Very much like the Apostle Paul, in a sense, up in Damascus. Very much like some of the prophets that the Lord dealt with. John himself also being a prophet. And so his connection, seemingly with family in that, once he came up into years, because how old is John? He's in his early 30s too, isn't he? That's right. Okay? He's all this time before he began his ministry. And it seems like the ministry of John the Baptist is a short ministry. And so his family ties were such that he didn't know what Jesus looked like. But he knew he should be made manifest. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Let's read that again, verse 20, 31. I knew him not, but that he should be manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. That's interesting, isn't it? He says, I don't know what he looks like. I know he's to be made manifest. And because of that, I'm baptizing with water. Isn't that what that says? Let's read the next verse. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. I didn't know what he looked like. Listen, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I don't know what he looks like. I know he's to be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Because the one that sent me to baptize, hear that. John was sent. There was a man sent from God whose name was John to preach the message of salvation through Jesus Christ and to baptize those that believed on him. And that in the working of that baptism, there's a couple things going on with that baptism to prepare a people that the Lord would take and then bring into his church, but also to manifest the Savior. Because the one that sent John, the Father, if you will, the one that sent John said, when you see the manifestation of the Spirit descend on this one like a dove, you know that he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And understand that baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is a very great and wonderful thing. But don't make it out more. Don't make it out to be mystic as it is many times in this day. You know what that's talking about? I believe that's talking about salvation. Because see, John preached, and he preached about this one whose fan is in his hand. We'll read that. Whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor. He'll gather the wheat into the garner. That is that which he saves. And the chaff with unquenchable fire. John said there's one amongst us that's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Salvation or eternal condemnation. He's the end all. He's the Alpha and the Omega, isn't he? He's the beginning and the end. And so he says here, as I was baptizing, Jesus was manifest. The light was manifest. Because we know, and we'll read this possibly too, that Jesus came to John for baptism. The Spirit of God descended like a dove and abode on him like none other that he had ever baptized. And the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen? Amen? So the sanction of God Almighty in that. Let's take a look over here quickly in Matthew chapter 3. Let's take a look over here. Matthew chapter 3. Again, John the Baptist. And the origins of baptism. John came baptizing with water, he says, so that Jesus could be made manifest. There were other things that also did and prepared, but he said the baptizing was such that the Savior could be made manifest. The one that sent me to baptize with water said, be looking for this one, and I'm telling you, he is the Son of God. He is the only begotten of the Father. In Matthew chapter 3, look here in verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness and saying, what did he say? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message that John preached. Repentance. Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance in this one that's here close and amongst us. Trust in him. Believe in him. He is the Savior. That was the message that he preached. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern kirtle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. He was a different kind of rough, kind of in the spirit of Elijah kind of guy, wasn't he? He stood out. But he had a message, and he preached repentance. Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 5, we see then John's requirement for baptism. What is it? John had a requirement to baptize sinners. There was something. He just didn't baptize everybody, but there was a requirement that was there. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan confessing their sins. They repented. They had repented of their sins. Said, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm guilty. Yes, I need that Savior that you're preaching. And John said, okay, I'll baptize you. Look what else that it says here. Let's see what it says. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, these religious elite, self-righteous, self-justifying folks, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, boy, that's pretty strong, isn't it? You pack of snakes? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Those that John baptized gave testimony that they had fled from the wrath to come through Christ. Amen? They admitted before God, I'm guilty. I deserve hell. But I'm trusting in Christ. I'm trusting the one that you're sent before, John. This one that you say you're not worthy to loose the latchet on his shoe. I receive him. I believe in him. He says, verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. You're coming and getting in line to be baptized, but you've not heard the message. You don't have a spirit of repentance. You don't have an attitude of a way of a change of your life. You're the same as you always have been. It's become popular to be baptized to me, so you're coming down here just to get it too. John had a requirement. Repentance of sins and faith in the coming Savior. And think not to say within yourselves, verse number 9. He said, you guys, don't you think to say within yourselves, well, we've got Abraham to our father. We qualify. We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He said, fellas, it's getting serious now because the Savior's on the scene and I'm baptizing that he might be revealed in obedience to the Father. And I'm baptizing those that show fruits meet for repentance and you don't have it. Listen, it's getting serious time now because see, trees that aren't bearing fruit, they're going to be cut down and burned. Look out. And then he tells more that we alluded to earlier about the Savior. I indeed baptize you with water, verse 11, unto repentance, or if you will, because of repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. I'm preaching it, but he's on the business end of it, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, those that he saves. And he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Hell and the lake of fire and the destruction of sinners that reject Christ, reject the way of the Lord, reject the gospel of the Lord for eternity. It all starts and ends with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the Savior. Well, if you will, because Jesus is the Creator, he's the Savior. And because he's the Savior, he's the Judge. Every sinner will give account to the Lord Jesus Christ in one way or another. Then we see here, over here in John chapter 1, we read where he said, it said in verse number 33 of John 1, I'll read this to you. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And he said, and I saw it, and I bear record that this is the Son of God. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, some 60 miles, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, and saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and cometh thou to me? The Lord comes a long way to be baptized. Is Jesus a sinner? No. But is Jesus on a mission? He is. He came to be the Savior for his people, and then he's also building a church. He said as much in the book of Matthew, right? We know that that's the case. So he doesn't need to be baptized. He comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. John says, well, wait a minute, I've got need to be baptized of you, and you want me to baptize you? What's the Lord say? Well, that sounds pretty good, John. No, and Jesus answering, verse 15, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. He said, you don't know, John, I need to be baptized of you. Is the Lord a sinner that's been saved? No. But he is head of his church. And he's given an example here and showing an example. And that's what we understand from the Scriptures is by example, much by example, about the Lord being baptized, those that identify with Christ are to be baptized. Yeah. Baptism doesn't tell what's going to be. Baptism tells what's already happened in the sinner. That's what it is. That's what it is. And so he said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. and then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw, that is John, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The threefold sanction of God upon the baptism of John. Jesus went a long way for it to be baptized by John. The Spirit of God manifested itself like a dove and abode upon the Lord Jesus Christ when he came up out of the water. And God the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." An example, a token of what the Lord Jesus Christ would do. What is it with baptism? Burial and resurrection. The burial of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection once for his people. Amen? And then for the sinner that's saved. When the sinner is saved, when the sinner comes to the Lord in repentance and faith, the sinner has died to self, died to the world, died to the ways of Satan and the ways of mankind. He's dead in Christ and risen to new life in him. It's a public declaration, an identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that that's the case. After the Lord Jesus Christ is baptized, I want you to turn over here to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John the Baptist and the origins of baptism. In John chapter 3, we see here in the Scripture where it says this, in John chapter 3, verse number 22. The Lord's been here with Nicodemus, and then the Scripture says this, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." Who's baptizing? Well, it says Jesus is baptizing, right? And it also says that John the Baptist is baptizing, right? Here we see a transition time. The Lord himself has been baptized already. He's got his disciples that are following with him as he began to call unto them, and Matthew and Peter and James and John, and he said to them, "Come follow me," and they forsook all and they followed him. The Lord himself was baptized and he was tempted, and then he began to gather his disciples, and now we see here in John chapter 3 that he is baptizing. That's directly what the Scripture says, and John the Baptist is also baptizing too. Okay? And then we go on here, and this is where I alluded to earlier about John being challenged by the people. Let's just read that real quick. "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples in John 3:25, and the Jews about purifying. They came to John and said unto him, 'Rabbi, he which was with me beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness,'" right? He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. "To whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all come to him." What do you think about that, John? Does that bother you? Your popularity is decreasing. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven." Have you been given anything from heaven? That's the only way sinners can be saved. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. The call of the Lord upon you, to you. Are you a sinner? If you're a sinner, you need a Savior. The Savior is Jesus Christ. Amen. Repent of your sins, trust in him. It's the only way to be saved. He said here, "A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom," and so on. And a friend of the bridegroom, that's speaking about the church. Verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." John says, "I'm not worried about that. That's the way it's supposed to work." And then we come down here in John chapter 4, verse number 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," John's decreasing and the Lord's increasing. And what's that next verse say? "Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples," the Lord is building his church. and believers that are coming, believing the gospel of the kingdom, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming gospel, the coming death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls, that He is Messiah, that He is the Christ, that He is Lord, He is the light, He is the Word. They're being baptized there by the Lord's church, His disciples. Not Him. He's not doing the baptizing. I think we understand why that would create a problem. And then some would say, well, I was baptized in Christ and you weren't. No, he made provision for that. He knows we're flesh. And there He's building His church. Did He do that before He was baptized to John? No, because there was one man sent from God to baptize. He baptized so that the Lord might be made manifest. The Lord went to him and received baptism from him as an example to us. And then we find the Lord's church that believers that repent of their sins, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are saved by Him, they come and are baptized by the Lord's church. And that's the pattern and the work that we see there. Ordinances of the Lord's church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. I want to just make a reference over here quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it speaks to us here about the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, and dealing with them about issues at hand. And he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24, or verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, brake it, and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And the same manner, and after the same manner, He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. The Lord's Supper, given to remember the Lord's death. In the ordinances, we find the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a great thing. And so with the Lord's Supper given as an ordinance, not a sacrament, not something to complete salvation. He said, He didn't say, do this to be saved. He said, do this to remember what I've done for you already. He died for us. He shed His blood for me. If you're here and you're saved, He shed His blood for you. And so it's given to, it's an ordinance to be held by the church. Who was He with in the upper room at that time? His church. Not all of Israel. Not other sects of the Pharisees or Sadducees or other religions. They are found around the Mediterranean Sea on the eastern end there. No, He was there with His church. And He gave it to His church. He took that and there's a connection there to the Passover. And He said, you do it in remembrance of Me. That He died. What baptism? Is there not a sense there that we do that in remembrance of Him? That's what the child of God, the one that's been saved, they say, I identify with Christ. I needed His death and His burial. I need His resurrection for life. I need Him. I identify with Christ. Baptize over and over and over again? No. Once is enough. Once is enough. Why? Because the Lord died for His people once. Not many times. That's the reason the whole thing about the Lord's Supper. We don't believe, as the universalists believe, in transubstantiation, where the blood becomes His, or the wine becomes His blood and the bread becomes His body. And we eat Christ that way. It's not what, in John chapter 6, the Lord made very clear about doing so was a spiritual affair. We need to fully partake of Christ. Amen. Through repentance and faith, trust in Him, the salvation of the Lord, the visitation of the Spirit of God to the sinner. And so the Lord has given these ordinances in this way. In closing, I want to give you something to think about. And I know this is just a very general message, but I wanted to bring just a couple more things out. There was no prophet greater than John the Baptist. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said. He said that among those born of men, there's no greater prophet than he. Because he was sent before the Lord. He was the one that Isaiah 40 said would be the case. Do you know what? The Lord from His church chose 12 apostles, didn't He? And you remember about one of those guys? Judas. Wasn't he an apostle? Chosen by the Lord? The Lord said several times, He said, "Haven't I chosen you all, and one of you is a devil?" You know what the requirement for the replacement for Judas was? That one Matthias that was chosen to be a replacement for Judas, the requirement was is that he went all the way back to the baptism of John. And he had accompanied with the Lord and all the things that the Lord's ministry entailed. He needed to be there, a witness. Brother Stephen brought that out. What is an apostle? He's a witness. He's one sent by the Lord. You know what? Was Judas baptized by John the Baptist? Shake your head, yes, he was. he wouldn't have been one of his apostles if he hadn't. You know what? Baptism didn't save Judas, did it? Because people aren't saved by baptism. Baptism shows what has happened to the sinner. And of course, the whole thing about Judas is a subject for another time, but the point is, Judas was an apostle. He had a place in the church. He had an office of treasurer. He had the baptism of John. And he was not saved. You know how sinners are saved? Through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The light, the Word, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Salvation is in Christ. What John preached, there in John chapter 1, he says, He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the one that's preferred before me, but comes after me. He was before me. John said, the Lord said, or John the apostle writes in John 14:6, that Jesus said, a quote, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me."